Hey, we're back. Ducks and Terry, Albert Nico, all things legal. Hour number two, we're on till 10 o'clock today. Give us a call, 260-1870, or text us at the Oakland Heart Talk and Text Line, 870-870. We're off next week, Albert, but the following week, we play the Baltimore Ravens on Monday Night Football, so therefore, we will be on in 2 weeks, which would be November 5th, I guess. November 5th. It'll be the day after the LSU Alabama game. So we'll be on in 2 weeks. And we had to call Paul before, but Albert, I wanted to, for our listeners, again, we were talking about Hurricane Ida. If you could give a primer on Louisiana Insurance Guarantee Association, how they come into play. And I think it's very important that we tell listeners about this deadline because I have a little, we're advertising on WWL about the deadline, which we're informing. And I have judges calling me saying, I didn't know that was the deadline. And they were very surprised. And the special masters who are sort of managing these Hurricane Ida claims, were caught off guard by it also. So if you could sort of just take us back to how LIGA gets involved and, how the deadline is different, as you explained last hour, from the regular deadline, and because I think it's very important for the listeners to know.
Again, this was something that was sent from the, let's see, I'm trying to pull it up right now.
Think Department of Insurance, huh?
The Louisiana Department of Insurance, Bulletin 2022-06. And basically, it's from the it's Jim Donilon's office. And it says, let's see. The claim has to be open and active. First party property damage claims against insolvent insurers. So you have to have an open claim and an active open claim against this insolvent insurer. And then he goes ahead and lists the insurance companies, and I'll go through them. State National Fire Insurance Company, Access Home Insurance Company, America's Insurance Company, Lighthouse Property Insurance Company, Lighthouse Excalibur Insurance Company, Southern Fidelity Insurance Company, and Western Property and Casualty Insurance. There is a prescriptive deadline in which to institute litigation, and they've extended it through December 31st, 2022. It says it applies only to existing open first-party property damage claims that are being actively adjusted with LIGA. So it's a little confusing because I don't know. So, for instance, Southern Fidelity, we've been trying to get in touch with LIGA regarding a number of Southern Fidelity claims, and we're not getting any help a lot of times from LIGA. And so I'm unsure whether or not those are considered open, active claims actively being adjusted by LIGA. And so out of an abundance of caution, we'll know a little more about those particular claims closer to the deadline. But, out of an abundance of caution, you might want to just file suit because you don't want to be caught in that trick bag. And you can always look, there's case management orders and different settlement special masters set up trying to negotiate these for you. Both in federal court and in a lot of the state courts. So even though you do file suit, you still will have that opportunity to negotiate with the other side to see about getting it resolved. Now, keep in mind, once LIGA takes over, there's some limits on the amount that you can collect, and there's also no penalties or attorney's fees for bad faith. So those all go away when your insurer becomes insolvent. So, unlike currently where we would have that opportunity to collect back penalties and attorney's fees from the insurer during the settlement process or even, bring it forward to a lawsuit, when LIGA is involved, once LIGA takes it over, it's kind of an insurance company for the insurance companies And so it basically makes clear that you don't have those rights, because the objective is to have enough money to where we can at least pay off the claims, and LIGA won't be responsible for the bad actions of prior insurance companies that they're adjusting.
Yeah. In discussing how that, you know, penalties and attorney's fees affect the negotiation, basically what happens is, if an insurance company doesn't get undisputed money out within a 30 or 60 day period, and there's some other activities that could be bad faith, the insurance company, there's some penalty provisions for penalties and attorney's fees. And the way it really works, and, you know, I think we've probably done about, between both of us, we've probably done over 100 mediations so far just for Hurricane Ida or settlement conferences, is that when you get into the mediation, the, you know, there's the insurance companies, you know, contest certain issues. You know, do you have to pull out all the sheetrock? Do you have to tear out all the floors? Do you have to replace the air condition? Do you have to, you know, to the full extent of the roof replacement, or is it a patch? All those issues. And the way the penalties and attorney's fees functionally work is, when you start having those disputed issues, the homeowners attorney would say, bad faith, bad faith, bad faith, meaning you got a problem no matter which direction we're going to go, because there is undisputed money that didn't come out soon enough. And in the real effect that happens is, in these settlement negotiations, the insurance companies will back off of certain contested issues, knowing their vulnerability for bad faith, and say, okay, you know, even though we do have some contested issues that may or may not be, you know, maybe legitimate, we do not want to explain to the court why we sat on our hands for 6 months before we got a payment out. So therefore, we may not contest certain issues as hard as forcefully as we would otherwise. And so a lot of the bad faith statute has that enforcement mechanism that helps give a incentive for the insurance company to resolve things quicker once you get it into a litigation phase. And also, you know, since they have some vulnerability, they'll give a little more. There's a lot more give and take than they would if they didn't. And, you know, I'm sure you experienced the same thing, Albert.
Well, and I have, yeah. And, you know, it's all about risk, right? And managing risk. And that's what insurance companies want to do. They want to manage what their risk is moving forward. And so, you know, the desk adjuster has to rely on the field adjuster, and the desk adjuster has a, you know, claims manager, and that claims manager has a claims supervisor. So a lot of times when they want to pay something, you know, they want to pay it and manage the risk of what they have to pay in the future, what they might have to pay. And, you know, the last thing I think a desk adjuster wants is some sort of finger pointed at him or her, that, you know, this, you were in bad faith, you didn't handle your claims timely, you didn't do X, Y, Z. And so, you know, they're going to want to try to massage that, get the claim settled, you know, and be careful signing a release if you don't have an attorney. Hey, we'll pay you this if you one of the issues with that is, they may say, okay, we'll pay you this, this, and this, but then they don't pay you the recoverable depreciation. So if they factored it out at 25%, you know, depreciation, well, once you get that work finished, you submit that claim, copies of your invoices, receipts, photographs, et cetera, showing that the work was done, and you submit that to them, say, send me my recoverable depreciation. Well, if you signed a release, they're done, and they don't owe you that. So just be careful before you sign anything. And really let a lawyer take a look at your claim. You know, okay, yeah, look, they paid me this, you know, well, let me take a look at it. Because if they didn't pay you your first check in, you know, within the 30-day period that they're required to do so, then they may in fact be liable for penalties and attorney's fees for bad faith. If they wrote you, I have one right now. I just got the settlement check in. We had a situation where they came out, guy had an $8,000 deductible, and they ended up paying him like $9,300. A little depreciation, he got a check for $600. And like he said, this is crazy. So we sent our guys over there. They went through it, and the claim was like $90,000. So they come back out, reinspect it, and when they reinspected it, they agreed that the claim was $87,000. And so at that point, they're in bad faith. There's some case law from Katrina right on point that says, look, your duty to adjust claims fairly and timely, or not just to go out there and quit pay some money within 30 days. You have to do it fairly. And if you're going to come out and give $9,000 the first time and 10 times more than that upon reinspection, obviously that first claim that you prepared is grossly inadequate. And you are now in bad faith for that, the insurance company is. And so there are a lot of claims out there like that. And finally, you know, they got an adjuster to come out and you know, okay, yeah, we'll pay you more money. And we've done very well, and I've cited the case, and I've explained in the letters how it applies to this particular claim, and how, hey, you got this claim on you know, September 6th. You adjusted it on September 10th. Your adjuster held on to that claim for 2 months and didn't complete the claim. And then when you got it, you waited another 35 days to send a check. Well, that's bad faith. You've got it. Once the insurance company is apprised of the loss, then they've got to go ahead and pay you, and they've got to do it within 30. And if they don't, the 30-day penalty is a 50% penalty of the damages that were determined. So if they claim that, you know, that your loss was worth $60,000, but they don't pay you timely, you're entitled to a $30,000 penalty plus whatever the attorney's fees are in getting that money for. The double damages issue, the two times damages, that's the 60-day note. That's calculated a little differently. Okay, the Supreme Court went through this. Basically, what that is two times penalty is not based on the damages you sustained to the property or to yourself. That is damages that were caused as the result of their breach of duty. Okay, so an example of that would be if you had, I don't know, $10,000 in additional living expenses. You had a limit, right? Well, they didn't pay you for 10 months or a year. They didn't pay you what they should have paid you. So your argument is, well, wait a minute. I've exhausted my first $10,000, but after that $10,000, I started incurring, you know, $1,000 a month to live somewhere else. And so I've lived there for 10 months, and so now you finally paid me. So I'm entitled to that $10,000 plus two times penalty, because those were damages that I sustained as a result of the breach, not the damages that I sustained from the storm, but the damages from the result of the breach. And so so there are a lot of things that they're, you know, not supposed to do and that they do that would be considered bad faith. And so let a lawyer look at it before you sign that release. Hey, look, they want to pay me this, and it's pretty close to what, you know, my adjuster came up with or whatever. Well, let somebody take a look at it and say, hey, they didn't pay you for 4 months, the first check. What the heck? You know, they got to do it within 30 days of being apprised of the loss. So
let me throw this question at you, which a lot of people, happens. So a lot of times you have a mold estimate that's $10,000, a mold limit for $10,000.
Yeah.
But if you got an estimate for $25,000 for mold, mm-hmm. even though you can only collect $10,000, could you explain how your premium could be absorbed because that particular element of damage is over the limits?
I'm not sure what you mean.
In other words, if you have a mold estimate that's $10,000. Okay, you have a mold policy with a $10,000 limit, and you have a $5,000 deductible, and then you have a mold estimate that the insurance company acknowledges is correct is $25,000. They say, yeah, you have $25,000. So you have an excess of $15,000 over the limits for mold.
Right.
And so The concept is if you have some type of excess over the policy limits for a certain coverage, you can use that excess to offset your deductible. So in that scenario, if a homeowner was assessed, the insurance company
Okay.
agreed. Yeah. Yeah, if the
Yeah.
insurance company. Yeah, you go ahead, Albert.
Once you reach your limit and you go over your limit, whatever coverage it might be, then the deductible is waived. Otherwise, you'd never reach your limit, right? So if you let's say you have a $100,000 limit on your structure and a $10,000, well, let's say a $5,000, 5% deductible. Okay, if your claim is $100,000 even, then you would get $95,000 because you've got a $5,000 deductible. But if your claim's $120,000, you've exceeded that $100,000 limit, so there would be no deductible because your deductible is absorbed into the excess.
Right.
Otherwise, you'd never have a $1,000 limit if they're always going to take the $5,000. So yeah, so that yeah, so that's yeah from the deductible, yeah, it would be absorbed in the excess.
Okay. I tell you what, let's go to a break. It's Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Hey, we're back. Doug Cinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. We got Coleman back at the studio, keeping us straight. Thank you, Coleman. Man, day after LSU game, my voice doesn't always make it 2 hours. So let's hope for the next half an hour I can keep my voice. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Pat. Got a question regarding rats. So Pat, let's hear about your rats, man.
All right, I'm going to give you a little scenario of what's been going on, if it's all right with you.
Absolutely.
I live in a development on the North Shore over in Covington, and it's a subdivision. And one of the neighbors basically has bamboo. The bamboo is about 32 feet high now and about 6 feet in depth, 90 feet long. The problem I've been having is over the last couple of years, the rats have been coming through and running along that fence. And in a 2 week, a couple, I'd say about maybe 3 weeks ago, in a 2.5 week period, I caught 10 rats and they 2 feet long. I've gone to the state health department and they said if we had a restaurant near us, they could help. They advised me to St. Tammany Environmental. I contacted St. Tammany Environmental, and they said the only thing they handle is sewage and water. It's to the point that I got game cameras, and I can see where the rats are coming from, but I just don't know what to do anymore, basically, since I can't get the state or parish to help out. When you got 2 feet rats, and some of them are even, I got photos from the game cameras that they're even coming out in the daytime.
What's the origin of what's attracting the rats? Do you know?
Well, according to the health department, and according to here's the other thing that's going to really be amazing. They said the bamboo are known to be a rat infestation place for them. When I contacted and went to my local pest control that I have that takes care of our property, they said, let's see that again. And I showed, they saw a box, that's a black box, and they said, that might be one of our boxes. And so, come to find out, that is one of their boxes. But I said, apparently your boxes aren't doing too good since in 2.5 week period, I caught 10 2 foot rats. And they said the only way you're going to get rid of the rats in that situation is if your neighbor gets rid of the bamboo. And the bamboo for years, I've contacted the neighbor numerous times because it winds up eventually hanging over in our backyard. anywhere from 5 to 7 feet, and it's about a year and a half ago they spent $8,000 or $9,000 to trim the bamboo and had 2 18-wheelers haul off the bamboo, but I don't know what to do anymore.
Let me ask you, does the neighbor have pets?
No, not that I know of. The only thing that I know that they do have is stray cats that come from their backyard.
Okay, because I'm just wondering if, well, stray cats are probably attracted from the rats, but I'm just wondering if maybe you could talk to the neighbor to see if they can put poison down, you know, within.
Well, their pest control is the same pest control that we have. And that my pest control told me, yeah, it's their traps that they put in the bamboo. But between the rat traps that they've put and the cats, they're not doing their job. Because if you catch, in a two-week period, you catch 10 rats that are 2 feet long. And I got photos of these things. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
How long is the fence line?
This has been going on for at least
feet.
Three. I'm sorry.
How long is the bamboo line? I mean, how many feet?
Oh, the bamboo is 32 feet high, and it's approximately 6 feet deep, 90 feet long along the back of our fence.
You know,
you got a pellet gun? I'm just kidding.
No. Well, I mean, I think from a legal perspective,
you need a machine gun.
I think one of the concerns is
pellet gun.
Is the practical aspect of the cost of trying to remedy the problem. Because, you know, I do think, and I'm saying this generally from you, if a neighbor in occupying their house creates a nuisance to the neighbor, I'm sure there's some statutes that would probably give you a foothold in to a certain extent.
But the problem, Doug, I think the problem is that you know, it's a natural occurring substance, the bamboo, right? I mean, it's there, it's naturally occurring, and I didn't create it. It's just, you know, the bamboo is there, and it, you know, I would think that the neighbor would want to alleviate the rat problem just as much as you do. And so, I mean, I think that the answer is to try to work together, you know,
I've taken pictures of the bamboo hanging over in our yard, and she's been in my yard and my next door neighbor's yard, because my next door neighbor has a problem with the cypress knees coming from their trees. But the trees they planted and the bamboo they planted, and when I sent the text to the husband texted me back as far as asking him to trim the bamboo. He basically told me if I trim the bamboo myself and any of the bamboo goes in his yard, that he'll see me in court.
Are you in a subdivision or more of a rural
area?
Yes,
sir. No, I'm in a subdivision, and I've contacted the Homeowners Association management about it, and that doesn't go too far.
Okay, so, I mean, is there, and I'm just thinking out loud, are there any code regulations in Covington, which I don't know, that have certain limits on height of fences and that sort of thing?
As far as height of fences, but that's not the problem. The problem is the bamboo.
As far as
the state health department told me, they said if you have bamboo near your house, you're going to have a rat infestation. And when the pest control company told me the only way you're going to get rid of the rats that are coming along your fence from your neighbor is if they get rid of the bamboo. So it's like, you know, it'd be different if the bamboo leaves. I mean, my whole yard is covered with bamboo leaves that I got to rake up at least once and a half, twice a week. But the problem is the bamboo on their side of the property has built up to the point that it's several inches high with just rotten bamboo leaves just stacked up all along.
Right.
And I contacted an attorney about 2 years ago, and that attorney contacted them, and that's when they agreed to trim the bamboo at a cost supposedly of $8,000 to $9,000 with 218 dump truck loads hauling it off. But the problem is that's been over a year and a half ago, and we got the same situation again.
Yeah. That's why, that's why bamboo flooring is so popular, because it just grows so quickly. And it's just going to, it's going to take over at some point, you know, their yard. And you know, I mean, I think your best bet is contact that attorney again and tell him, you know, take pictures, do the rats, and then, you know, tell them to do it again. And if they got to keep paying $7,000 to $8,000 every year to trim those things, they may want to get rid of them.
Yeah, I mean, I think they would have a duty to mitigate in order to, for, you know, to protect their neighbors, but that's...
Yeah, because the thing of what you're just saying is that the rats, according to the health department, their urine and the disease that you can get from them are unbelievable.
Yeah, but I mean, I would have that same lawyer contact these people again. Send the photos. Hey, look, you know, keep them trimmed, and it's a rat problem. Put them on notice. And if they've got to spend $7,000 to $8,000 again, or if they got to do it every year just to trim those things, they may get the message and say, okay, you know, we're going
to
take
to do something.
Spend $20,000 to just, you know, get rid of them all.
All right. All right, Pat. Thanks for the call. I know we weren't as helpful as you'd like, but I think you have some ideas on what to do next. Thanks for the call. Let's go to a break. Doug Sinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal, WWL, AM, FM, Odyssey.com. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Hey, we're back. Doug Sinceri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Brett from God's Country in the North Shore. What do you have for us, Brett?
Hey, Doug. Hey, Albert. Hey. I have a place out in Lake Catherine, and it was damaged heavily by wind and water after Hurricane Ida last year. Allstate settled with me very quickly on my flood. My wind was covered by Access Insurance. If you're familiar with that, they went bankrupt, and their claims were taken over by MIGA. I filed my claim timely. They sent an adjuster out timely, and we came up with a number, and then I didn't hear from them for like 3 or 4 months. And then finally, when I did hear back from the adjuster, he told me about MIGA taking them over, and it finally took them about 6 months to settle the claim. The claim was for about $28,000. I had a $12,000 deductible, so I wound up with about $16,000. My question is, do I have any recourse as far as for late finalizing the claim?
Do you have any recourse? I'm sorry, for what?
For late filing, late responding to your claim. Is that correct?
No, that's correct.
Yeah. Penalties and attorney's fees.
Correct. Now, you know, if they didn't pay you 100% of what you claim your damages to be, you would have that claim with LIGA unless you sign some form of release. You know, you can still make a claim for the difference. So if you really had $40,000 in damage and they only paid you $23,000, then you would be, you know, you would be able to at least make a claim for the difference. And let me tell you, believe it or not, it sometimes depends from adjuster to adjuster. You know, we've had some LIGA adjusters that say, look, we're going to try to get some money on the streets. We're going to try to pay you, et cetera. We've had other ones that, you know, think it's their money and don't want to pay you a penny. So, you know, with that said, there's a possibility if you file that claim with LIGA, and keep in mind you're going to have to file suit by the end of the year, you know, you can then perhaps collect the additional amount.
Right. The amount that they actually settled with me for was what the adjuster had come up with, but it was less than $12,000 deductible. And I guess, I realize the deductible, I mean, it is what it is, but my question is more in relation to, y'all were speaking earlier about the fact that when they're late in settling the claim, right, over 30 and 60 days, I know LIGA may have some protections that other insurance companies would not.
That's correct. Yeah, LIGA is not going to be responsible for any bad faith practiced by the previous carrier or, sadly, by their own bad faith practiced by their adjusters. So, you know, basically it is set up to where the state wants to pay people for their primary claims only through LIGA and not deal with, you know, the excess of penalties, attorney's fees, et cetera. They want to make sure there's enough money in the kitty to get at least everybody their, you know, their actual damages paid. So there's no claim for penalties or attorney's fees for any bad faith.
So really my only recourse then would be to look at the actual claim itself and determine whether or not there was a fair settlement based upon my damage.
Correct. That's correct. Where are you in Lake County? I got a place about 2 miles from the Wrigley's on the Lake Pontchartrain side.
I'm 2 miles from the St. Tammany side on Lake Catherine, right in the middle of the island.
Oh, right what zone are you in?
I'm zone 7.
Yeah, I'm in zone 7 too. We're neighbors. I've got a yellow camp with a green roof. It's right next to that big white one with the little widow's walk at the top.
Yeah, I know your camp, and mine is right next to the big old lime green monstrosity. Mine is the Redneck Yacht Club.
I know exactly where you are. I know exactly where you are. If you see a car out front, stop by for a beer.
Stop by and visit. And look. Also, when you stop by, Albert's got a great bar, so have a few drinks too.
Okay. All right. I'll bring my daughter Ashley, Doug.
All right. Thanks.
I'll take care.
Thanks for the call. All right, let's go to our final break. Doug Cinteri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers, all things legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Hey, we're back. Doug Cinteri, Albert Nico, your weekend lawyers. You give us a call at 504-837-1304 in Metairie, 504-837-1304 in Metairie. And the North Shore office is 985-624-9697. In God's Country in Mandeville. Albert, I want to end on a great note. The New Orleans Pelicans, they have played 96 minutes of basketball thus far in two games. They have not been behind for 1 second. Not for 1 second. That is just...
I said it, you know, before the season started, we're going to see what kind of coach Willie Green is when he can introduce Zion into that chemistry that they had last year. And make them all fit, make them all play together, keep the you know, egos at bay. And in the first 2 weeks, he seems to have done that. And I think his you know, CJ McCollum has got the experience, got to know. And I think he's been able to talk to Brandon Ingram and Zion and say, look, guys, you guys can both be alpha dogs, and we can win a championship one day. But you can't. Not play with each other. You got to play together. The Shaq and Kobe thing, right? And there was something on ESPN. It was awesome if you get a chance to see it about the Lakers. But they kind of it was this little focus on Shaq and Kobe and how Kobe wanted to be it and not share the limelight with Shaq, and Shaq didn't appreciate it. And they had a couple of years. They were, you know, how can you not win a championship? And finally, they got together and you know, started sharing the ball and playing together, and they won. So. It's the same concept with Zion and Brandon Ingram. Both of them are superstar, all-star players.
How do fortunes change? This time last year, they were, I think they started out, 1-15 or 2-15? I mean, they were in a skid. And we're wondering about the viability of the New Orleans Pelicans in New Orleans, especially since they were having a handful of people going to the games. 1 year later, Charles Barkley is saying they might come out the West in the finals. So what a difference a year makes. And you know, tonight they're playing the Utah Jazz. And
they
without Donovan, and healthy injuries and keeping Zion healthy.
Here's what I love. I love that this team is everything right about the NBA. There's so much wrong with the NBA. So much that disgusts a lot of people. But this team is everything that's right. They've got a good coach. He's got a great temperament. They play together. They love each other. They're high-fiving on the bench. They want to see all of their teammates succeed. And it's fun to watch. And they all talk about that chemistry in the locker room. That's what sports is about. That's, you know, in playing your best, playing with your teammates, everybody trying to make each other better.
And I think we've caught lightning in the bottle for the next 3 or 4 years, and so we'll enjoy it. They're playing the Utah Jazz tonight, 6 o'clock. Tonight's atmosphere, the sellout, is going to be a playoff atmosphere. It's going to be sort of raucous. And so, you know, we don't have Saints today, but we have Pelicans, which is and when you're talking about basketball in October, you know that we have a good team. And I think that's probably the first time in 20 years we're talking about basketball in October. All right, Albert, any parting words before we go?
That's all. You know, just claims filed, guys. Call us up. We'll start filing soon.
Yes. If you got a LIGA deadline, 504-837-1304. We'll see you in 2 weeks in All Things Legal. We'll be off next week. So y'all have a great couple of weeks. Go Tigers. And hopefully the Saints will make a little comeback by the time we meet again. All right. We'll see you then.